Hi, this is Manmokhs into a rabbit hole. I'm Amitabh. A few days ago, Shashwat, Deepi, and I were talking about loneliness, and this was supposed to be just urban meditation of on loneliness. We ended up though speaking a bit about the personal side of it and how it impacts each of us, and one of the things which Shashwat said in the middle of the chat or the conversation was, I thought, very insightful. I mean, again, not something we don't know, but the way he presented it was extremely insightful. Having said that, knowing Shashwat and knowing how he talks, for some of you who have heard him or known him, he actually presented it, or he almost slid the argument in the middle of a larger argument, and if we hadn't paid attention, nobody would have noticed, including us. So what was his point? His point was, and I'm saying it's something to the effect because I'm not so sure what he said exactly, but his point was this, right? He said, in the modern world, we see but yet don't see. And while there are many interpretations of this statement, to me it meant something. And in fact, if I remember in the chat itself, I give him a reverse analogy or a correlated analogy, which is essentially that in India, when people die or when people have an accident on the road, literally everyone just drives past them, which includes me. Like, I have done this so many times where if I've already seen a crowd or a set of people collected around the accident spot, I just drive off, or I just keep driving. I don't drive off. I have tried to help an accident-prone victim, but that was more than 15 years ago, and that was because that person was quite literally alone, and they had fallen on the road post the accident, and there was nobody to help them. But I would also say that that's not how most accidents in the country are treated, and there is a huge social reason to it. But let me unwind the stack, go back to the original point. So Shashwat's point was, we see but we don't see, and that applies to so many aspects of our life, right? Like, I'll see a dear friend depressed, but I don't know how to bring that up. I'll see my spouse or my child struggling with something. I will not know how to bring that up, which means I will not know how to bring that into the foreground as a part of a conversation or as a part of a dialogue. There are one or two probable reasons, at least for me, right? And I'm sure everyone has their own reasons of how this see but don't see work, or as Amit Verma would put it, seen and the unseen, which he says is in the context of economics, but it's a very powerful powerful metaphor. In this case, I think there is, it's not the seen and the unseen, it's the seen and yet unseen. Which means you have seen it and it's yet unseen. This works for two, this probably happens for two reasons in my life, right? One, I am sometimes unsure whether I have, let's say I see a friend depressed. I am unsure whether I'm seeing her depressed because I am thinking through this correctly, right? Or I am understanding her circumstance correctly. Which is one bucket why I sometimes stay away from seeing and yet unseen, or rather, why sometimes I see and yet unsee. The second bucket is the wokeness or the political correctness, right? So, like, for example, I have a few acquaintances, I won't say friends, who show distinctly suicidal tendencies, right? Distinctly. And it's not even like
you have to implicitly guess, right? It's explicit, like their language is like, I want to try and finish my life today. Now, in this circumstance, this is an acquaintance, right? If this was a friend, this is a very different conversation, because I'm literally going to take my car and drive down to their house and camp outside their house, right? Or camp inside their house. This is an acquaintance. Now, I'm not so sure whether I can reach out to him or her and say, look, is everything okay? Can I help you? And I've tried doing that, right? And I've literally hit what I call a wall, where while the person has also politely responded, no, 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 I'm great, this was just a rant, the underlying subtext or subtone of that message was fuck off, right? Basically, the tone was fuck off, you cannot enter my private space. Which is fine, which is absolutely fine for somebody to tell me, look, fuck off, don't enter my private space. What is not fine is if he or she thought I was trying to intrude their private space, right? Which means it's okay for one person, so this is a bit of a technicality, but it's okay for a person to say, look, this is my boundary, please don't come here. It's another thing for the person to assume that I have a vested interest or something going on in my head for which I want to get into their space. These are the two reasons I probably many times see and I unsee. There's also probably a third reason as I was talking, right? It occurred to me. The third reason I probably see and I unsee some, and yet I unsee at times, is because I know I'm not going to make inroads with that person, right? So there is baggage or there's history or there is a backstory there, right? So for example, if let's take the simplest example, right? This is the simplest example, easiest example. So if my child is prone to not do his or her schoolwork, which is slash homework, right? And let's say I see him quite literally whiling away his time. Now, whiling as in whatever, he could be watching television or he could be watching YouTube or he could be something like that, something completely which is directly and explicitly blowing wind in the air, right? I could probably go back and tell him, which I do, like probably 9 out of 10 times I do, but there's always that 1 or 2 or 3 times where I don't go back and tell him, look buddy, you have to finish your classes or your homework or your assignments or whatever. The reason I don't do it is because it is such a topic of friction that we have gone through that journey at least a million times, and million times is an exaggeration, but let's say 1,000 times, and neither of us have budged an inch, right? In fact, the friction pushes us further away. Which means if the initial distance between us and the conversation was 10 meters, now it's 15. And with every passing day and every added frictional interface, that increases by an inch or whatever, a feet or a meter or whatever, right? So there's another reason you see and you unsee. The last reason, and I know I started with 2 and then I made it 3 and now I'm on my 4th one, right? The last reason I probably also see and unsee is because sometimes I know, which is very similar actually to the third one, but this is on a broader context. Sometimes I know I can't make an inch of difference, right? So for example, when I see the spate of hate crimes, when I see the spate of rapes, when I see the spate of irrational stuff, right? Totally irrational stuff, like people being very happy because an actor's son is caught in a drug scam, right? It's irrational, right? I mean, you cannot, as a human being, it's not about we as a society or I as an individual, you cannot, as a human being, gloat over anybody's tragedy, right? And even if it's a self-inflicted tragedy. So let's assume that the actor's son did do drugs. Let's assume he or she was caught, right? It's so stupid of us to assume that none of us have done wrong things. Even in the last week, right? All of us have done something weird, right? I mean, it's almost like I sometimes want to walk into a room and say, who hasn't watched porn, right? And if I see a finger up or a hand up, I might still rationalize it, saying maybe this was really an exception. But if I see half the room raise their hands up, I know I am in a dishonest room, right? Similar, right? So if you walk into a society as in quite literally a social structure, and you say, how many of you have done nothing illegal in the last 1 year? Whatever that might be as simple as breaking a signal by mistake or by intent, or that might be, but I mean, there could be many things we do in illegal, right? Like all of us, like I have, for example, tried to buy liquor at a cheap place and bring it into a more expensive place. We all do that, right? Some of it is legal, which means you can buy it at duty-free and bring it into the country. Some of it is patently illegal, right? You buy it in Goa and you bring it into Maharashtra. Illegal, broadly illegal. Have we not all tried it? Yes. As long as my sense of this is, as long as we were not trying to, first of all, sell this and make $1 million, which means we were not running a bootlegging industry, I think it is broadly acceptable. It's not okay, but it's acceptable, which means we are all trying to just have some bit of minor upside in a transaction, right? Like I might save 100 rupees on a whiskey bottle or whatever I might save, right? I don't know the exact number, but something like that. What is the point I'm saying? Let me unwind the stack. So we spoke of the actor and his son. Why did we speak of the actor and his son? Because we saw a lot of people gloating on their misfortune. Why did we speak about that? Because a circumstance like that also makes you want to see and unsee, right? Because you realize two things or three things which might depress you about that situation. One, this is the world we have constructed around ourselves. A world which gloats in somebody else's misfortune, right? The second is, even if the world was not gloating in their misfortune, nobody is able to really help them, right? I cannot, right? And I don't think writing on Twitter saying, oh, dear actor, I support you or I am on your side makes any difference, right? I mean, that's not even lip service. That's just adding noise into the world. I think the real way to look at this is to try and understand if there is a mechanism where we can contribute to the world by seeing. And if we can contribute to the world by seeing, then we should stop the yet unseeing or the unseeing part of it. I will try and revisit this again, but that's my initial thought. It is a very powerful thought. I think we all do it all the time. I mean, it is symptomatic of our society and time. Like I would say 95% of my day, every single day, is seeing and yet unseeing. It's just 5% of my day where I see and I know I have seen and I move ahead. I don't know whether you folks feel similarly a dissonance with your reality, but I definitely feel a strong dissonance with my reality. That's about it. Thank you. It's a wrap.